And Jesus said, you better sit down and count the cost one day. You see, a big crowd was following Jesus, and he said, wait a minute, count the cost. Do you know that I'm going to die on a cross, and if you follow me, you're going to have to go die with me? Oh, we didn't know that, Jesus. We thought you were setting up a big kingdom. We were going to be in the kingdom with you. So they left him. There will be the cross for you to bear before the crown. And when you do come to Jesus Christ, you're going to be tested by God. God never has anyone come to him that he doesn't test you. Some of you have made your decisions for Christ this week, and already you're being tested. Temptation is coming. A friend doesn't understand the step that you've taken. Already you are filled with some doubts and weakness. This is all normal to every person that ever came to Christ. It costs them.
And that was the young William Graham, a.k.a. Billy Graham. What's up, guys? This is Ridge.
This is Noah.
And it's Brady.
We got Brady. We got a little audience out here of Deanna, Kaylee, Kennedy, and the Jackson Hudspeth himself.
And Baker.
The cameraman. The goat.
All right, enough.
The coolest person on the planet.
Our sponsorship for each podcast episode.
Bowden's best friend. Bowden's favorite person, Jackson Hudspeth. But yeah, that was a good little word from Billy Graham about what it costs to be a Christian. And tonight we are sitting outside by the fire. It is a brisk, probably like 67 degrees on this Florida evening. And the bugs are non-existent because of my fire. And the smoke is putting off. And it's just a good night, chill night. Noah, you want to open us up with that verse of the week?
The verse of the week comes from Deuteronomy 31:8. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will never fail you nor abandon you. That comes from Deuteronomy 31:8.
And then if you want to go ahead, you can just start it off with the prayer.
Yeah. Dear Lord, thank you for this day and waking us up this morning, Lord. I pray that we continue to spread the gospel and live a life with our eyes set on you. I pray that you continue to guide us in our struggles and that we know that you are always there with us. I pray that we continue to live through your will for us. And if anything we do is not in your will, then let us know. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 All right. Well, what did you guys think of that little Billy Graham excerpt we just listened to on the cost of being a Christian and what it costs to follow Christ?
It was good.
It's a really strong message.
Yeah.
It is, right? And it's fitting for this week. I mean, in general, because we started that new devotional.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And that devotional smacks.
It does. It's really good. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it too. I would have thought, honestly, I thought like the first 2 days, I'm like, I'm not going to follow through on this. And now it's like every morning I wake up, it's the first thing I do.
Yeah, that's so good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So a little bit about kind of what I think it costs, because it does cost something to be a Christian. And some of the main things are like, there's like, it's called self-denial, which like you must trust Jesus even when times are hard and allow him to increase your life. Relationships. There's a lot of relationships that you'll lose when you choose to follow Jesus, whether it's friends. I mean, even family, they won't agree with you. They won't like who you're becoming because you're not worldly anymore.
They'll see you differently.
Yeah. And I know all of us have kind of experienced that kind of thing. And so that's one of the ones that hit hard, like, and hit home when it comes to following Christ and losing those certain relationships.
Yeah. I think the biggest problem, I think, with all of that is a lot of people see it as, like, change in general. And a lot of people are, like, used to being normalized. So it's like, you were always this way for the last, like, 19 years. What's
like,
changing? Changing now? I don't like
this. Why are you changing
this
for the better? Like, we want old you back.
But they don't see it that way. They see it as like, oh, well, what about, you know, that person used to go out and do all these things, like drink, party, all that stuff like that. Yeah. What's happening now?
You know, it kind of falls on the devotion, like the wide road and the narrow road. The wide road was like worldly things, you know, drinking, partying, going out, doing all these things that mm-hmm. are not God honoring. And, you know, we choose as Christians to be on the narrow road, which is, you know, strictly on Jesus, preaching the gospel, worshiping our Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that, like the whole kind of friendship things, what it costs, also kind of plays a role in our devotion that we have today.
And I'd say it's hard too, because I mean, obviously with me and Noah being younger, like everyone around us is like doing all that kind of stuff that's like worldly, and it's like, okay, welcome to Christ later.
When, yeah, you guys are sophomore year of college.
Yeah, like, when I have actual impact.
What you're supposed to be doing.
That's supposed to be doing, in quotes, but like that's what's like scary. A lot of people are like, well, God will wait for me, I'll go later. It's like, why not now?
Yeah, so, exactly.
I mean, and you never know what day could be your last. You know, you could be partying and doing this.
And that's, that's why there's no better time than now. Like,
you don't have time to wait.
Exactly. Yeah. Another thing is like material things. Like you're going to have to give up your possessions. Like you gotta come to the realization that nothing's yours, and you wouldn't have it if it wasn't for God. Like you wouldn't have it if it wasn't for Jesus. And you, when you can do that, you can really settle in and you can dig in and be like, you know what? Like, I don't actually have to worry about this stuff. Like,
it's all in God's hands.
Whether my gas tank is full today or not, like I'm gonna be guided through the next day. Like, there's no worrying about tomorrow. So it's really a beautiful thing. Life, like, you got to give up your life. You may even have to give up, as in, like, it kind of piggybacks off of what you guys are saying, like your life, the way you live, and the things you do and the things you choose to give up and leave behind, and what you choose to pursue and follow. It definitely takes a choice. You've got to choose to follow Jesus over things. Like, you got to choose to follow Jesus instead of going out and partying and drinking. Like, it's a better choice to, and there's no problem going to hang out with your friends and all that, but if you're not strong enough to stay away from those temptations, then the best bet is to stay away from those friends.
And it comes on discipline, honestly. Just being spiritually disciplined. And also, I mean, like a lot of people, obviously, like kids, you know, it's like Santa Claus, like that, like, you know, oh, well, I get gifts every day. Like, you know, when I'm Santa, like, you know, 25th, I get my gift, and it's from Santa. You know, with God, it's like you don't really see that gift. It's more of like, you know, it's there for you. And a lot of people, they want to see things happen. They want to see like results. They want to be given that thing. That's why people like follow like worldly stuff, because it's like, okay, well, I can achieve that if I just follow the worldly way. But it always doesn't. I mean, it's usually a short road. It never is a long road.
For sure. And commitment, like, you've got to be fully committed to the highest cost. Like,
All in, as Pastor Kevin says.
Yeah, you've got to be all in. You can't be a lukewarm Christian. You can't have one leg in, one leg out.
You're like, seasonal. Yeah.
Like, you gotta be a deep end Christian. Where when you jump in, you can't touch the bottom, and you're completely covered, completely submerged. Like, that's all you think, bro. Where's that music coming from?
I don't know. It's kind of banging though.
From who? The neighbor over here?
Yeah, no.
Turn it down!
The basketball.
Get off my lawn!
No, and that kind of comes from, like, when also, I forgot who said it at church, but being the launcher, not the lounger.
Pastor, what is his name, Greg?
George.
Pastor George.
Yeah, he was good.
He filled in for PK when he ran the New York City Marathon, which he didn't even tell anybody in church he was doing.
Nope.
Jesus warns people to count the cost before following him. He asked people to consider what it's required to be a follower according to his teaching and not man's tradition. So, like, he knows it's going to be hard. He knows it's going to be a struggle. He knows it might not be the easiest thing. But if you do it, literally nothing will ever go wrong. Like,
yeah,
things might try to go wrong. Things might, that was a good gulp of water there, buddy.
I didn't mean for it to be that loud.
Things might try and fall apart on you, and might try and go bad, but it's simply just not going to happen as long as you've got Jesus on your side and you're fully committed. You're all in, not doing this lukewarm thing where it's like, you know what, I'm a Christian on Sundays and Wednesday nights, or
Creaster,
you know,
people.
Like a Creaster.
Yeah, Creaster and Easter. Yep.
And you've got to be willing to live that life from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep every single day of your life. And we're all sinners. We're all going to make the mistake. We're all going to stray away from the right path and fall off the holy train, but it in the end, as long as we're trying our best and we're still committed and we ask for forgiveness because we serve a just God, mm-hmm. and he's got grace for everyone, then we'll be perfectly fine. And we just got to make sure that that's our number one goal and that's our number one focus. Like the cost of following Jesus requires that essentially you give up anything that distracts you from Jesus, from the Bible, from Christianity, from your devotions, from all of it. Anything that might tend to, that you might tend to trust in more than God, that you worship, other than God, that requires everything that you have. Like it genuinely requires everything you have to stay on track with God and to be a good Christian. And I know this might make it sound kind of frightening and kind of tough for some people, but that's the God honest truth, is that it is nearly a full-time job and it is the most rewarding thing you'll ever do in your life. Like, oof, excuse me, and excuse those kids that are screaming in the background. Kennedy was supposed to be watching them and keeping them busy, but not really. I'm just kidding. What do you guys got, dude? That's our my little opening.
I think blab. I read it was our second devotional. I actually really agreed with, and I thought it was really well said. It was talking about basically like the seed planting. Like, you know, you start with a seed for wheat, right? And that wheat grows all the way, and then it's, you know, it dies to make something else like bread. And, you know, that's kind of like how we are as peoples. Like, you know, during this devotional, like you die, your old self dies, and you're born into something better. And that being obviously the wheat is turned into something that is, you know, a value, bread, you know, like I said, toast cookies. And cookies, and cake, like that all, like, it's something of, you know, better. And I couldn't, when I read that, like, I couldn't agree with anything more than that. Like, we all start at the very bottom, but we always have, like, room to grow into something so much better. But the really question is are you willing to put that past behind you and know that, you know, there's a better life ahead of you. It's just, do you want to wake up and choose that every day?
Yeah.
And a lot of people, they just can't do it. You know, it's like you said before, it's like, oh, like Tuesday I'll be a Christian, but Wednesday I can't. Or, you know, Thursday, you know, Monday through Thursday I'll be Christians, but then Friday, you know, Friday I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to go out and party and just, you know, live, you know, get, you know, drunk and just obnoxiously, you know, everything.
Yeah.
And it's just, and then, you know, we'll come back Sunday, go to church and then act like it never happened.
Yeah. Like put that facade on almost, like, yeah, you know,
I'm so Christian, you know, like people like that, like live like they're, you know, like huge Christians in church and then they go out, they don't represent it.
Yeah, for sure.
No, there's one thing that I liked that Ridge said. It was, let me find it. It was like, he said, without Jesus, we are literally nothing, just a bag of bones walking on this earth with no purpose. And God is here to give us the purpose and unlock everything he has in store for us to achieve. Now, I really like that. I said that in my summary, too. Because it's true. I mean, like, literally, we're worthless, like, sinners who, you know, have almost kind of have no joy in life without Jesus. And I said something today that was like, let me go back to it. I said the wide road doesn't fill your void in the long run, but you know what? Jesus Christ will fill your void, and he's on the narrow road. So we kind of have to pursue him and go after him so that, you know, the void that can temporarily be filled by drinking and partying is no longer there, only Jesus's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good, dude. I mean, living under the freedom of God's grace and love is the most powerful thing that you can.
You'll be the richest man.
Yeah, like you'll be the richest man on the planet, even if you literally have zero money.
Yeah.
It gives you complete and total control and ability to conquer all sin and death by giving your old life and ways to the world. You've gone from earth or from death to life and from darkness to light. Like it's the purest feeling you could possibly have to know and have that comfort that you don't have to worry about tomorrow, like that you're going to be okay. And it's one of those feelings that I love, like that I have, like I own a business, dude. And some weeks I'm working every day of the week, but other weeks I'm working one day a week. And
yeah,
it's comforting. Yeah, I need money for the worldly things, like for paying for gas and paying for food and insurance and stuff like that. But because I've got Jesus and because I have that peace from him, I don't worry about tomorrow. Like, it's all good. Like, I don't worry about what's going to come tomorrow. I mean, most of the times, if I'll just pray about it and ask God for a little guidance and a little favor and commitment and to put me on the right path. And I've completely given my business over to God. Like, I've asked him to bless it, and I've told him that I know that none of this is mine. And, and after I did that, dude, like, calls, like, I'll be sitting here in the morning, like, bored, watching freaking The Office or Drake and Josh or something at 9:30 a.m. on a Tuesday. And I'll get a phone call and be like, hey, we've got a last minute job. Can you come run out here and do it for me? Like, yeah, sure.
You know what is appraisal for, though? He did bless it because he gave you the opportunity to be the project manager for the roofing company.
Oh, true. Yeah, yeah. So we're waiting to hear back from that. And they're trying to hire some roofing crews so they can. They told me they're going to give me the job, essentially. But, I mean, you know how employers can be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And,
but that would be a blessing for not only me, because I mean, I don't hate the time that I get to spend with my family, having my own business and having so much downtime, but I also get bored. Like, yeah. I hate the time that I have to just sit there when the kids are at school and all that. So it would be a blessing for me to be able to get out. They have a solid schedule set for you. And it would also be a blessing for Noah, because Noah would be able to take over like some commercial accounts I have that I do on a weekly basis. And it would be a good way for him to earn money while he's going through school.
Yeah.
I do want to shout out another praise report from this week, and that would be Brady. Because Brady, this week we had a really deep conversation with you, and you seem like you really told us you wanted to dive into and dig deep into the word and really figure it out. And it's not like you weren't doing that before, but we all stumble. We all fall short, and you have made that decision to do your best, ask for guidance and accountability, which for a man, asking for accountability and asking for help is one of the hardest things any of us can do.
Yeah.
And so that's a major praise report. Yes. And you're ready to fully dive in deep to this thing and experience everything God has in store for you. And that's just such a blessing. And yeah, we're extremely happy and proud for that.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all both for, you know, walking me through that. But I think after that night we talked, it was, I think, 3 nights ago, I think I learned my biggest thing out of the whole conversation is that the way you talk is the way you walk.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can be messing around about some things you say.
Ooh, I got something written down for that real quick. It's, you just hold your thought. You are what you think about. Thoughts lead to actions. Actions lead to behaviors, and behaviors lead to lifestyle.
Yeah.
So that, it just popped in my head, and I was like, I got something in my notes for that one. Yeah. But keep going.
No, like, that's what, like, because I mean, obviously a lot of people know I kind of just have a really, really loose cannon, and I kind of just say whatever's in my mind. And, you know, I'm like 95% of the time I'm joking, and then 95%, you know, 99% of the time I'm doing what I'm joking about.
Yeah.
And it's really unfortunate, because it's not something you do mindfully. It's just like, you say it so often, it's like, oh, well, I mean, I guess I'm doing it now as well. So I feel like, you know, even not even as a, you know, as a Christian and as a person in general, like, I feel like the way you hold yourself and the way you talk really presents of what kind of person you are. And if you're, you know, if your words are disgusting, you're a disgusting person. Yeah. And that's, it takes maturing, honestly. Yeah. Just mental maturity of knowing that it's not, you know, after a while, it's not a joke. And that after a while, it's not funny. And, you know, you got to just figure out, like, is this who you want to be for all your life? Is someone who just thinks everything's a joke? And they'll take you nowhere.
It definitely takes a lot of sacrifice and kind of to move past those temptations that you have.
Yeah.
But
so yeah, you're ready to fully like learn the Bible and dive deep. And I don't know the Bible cover to cover. I don't fully know that thing, and Noah doesn't fully know it. There's so much, even if you've read the Bible 100 times, the Bible can still teach you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a new life lesson every day.
Yeah.
And another thing that I wrote down that I had read, and it was like, learn the gist of the Bible in 60 seconds. Genesis to Malachi, Jesus Christ is coming to earth. Matthew to John, Jesus Christ is in the human form, is on earth. Acts to Revelations, he's coming back. Now, if you can get excited about those sections and get into it, it'll help you get involved in it, and it'll really allow you to dive deep because you know what's coming. Yeah. So, like, that's essentially the Bible in a wrapped up gist, like, form. And if that gets you hype, then, like, bro, like, just read it.
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge New Testament guy. Like, the New Testament with the thous and that and arts and all that, they're tough for me to focus on. Like, I know a few people that are really good in did I say New Testament or Old Testament?
Oh, you said New Testament.
Okay, I meant Old Testament. Oh. I know people that are really good in the Old Testament and have a really good grasp on it, and I don't reach out to them as much as I should, but I plan to, especially now that we're taking this thing a lot more serious. Especially this podcast. Like, that's another thing that we've joked around a lot and haven't been fully focused on Jesus in the Bible and the Word and God in these last 11 episodes that we've done. But it's time to strap in, sit back and like get that. Serious about this thing. And I like that all three of us have committed to that. Obviously, we're still going to joke around. We're still boys. We're still buds. Like, we're still dudes. We're going to take shots at each other once in a while. We're going to have fun episodes where we talk about football and all that, but ultimately it's all going to come back to Christ.
And I want to thank everyone that listens as well, that, you know, you give us that platform to still, you know, listen to our stuff, even sometimes when we do get off track, that we still appreciate you guys always, because we feel like, if not, you know, we want to make sure that everyone gets the message across straight, and, you know, we're here to help everyone, even if we know we don't, and we just, you know, even one part of, you know, an hour episode, even like 10 seconds of it, helps you gain something, means world to us at the end of the day.
Yeah, and we've done our job. Like, if we've brought you closer to Christ, then
it's all that matters.
That's all that matters. Yeah. Like we said at the beginning, we aren't looking like it, whether we save or help guide one person or 100,000 people.
Yeah.
We've done our job.
Yeah.
Like, and we're gonna keep doing it. We're gonna keep focusing on things. Mm-hmm. We're gonna keep messing up, but with the grace of you guys and the grace that God has for us, we're always going to find our way back into the path and the right track.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like I said it today.
Brady, can you get up easily? You don't have a cord in front of you or anything?
No.
Okay. Can you throw a few more logs on that fire?
Yeah. Said it today in the devotional, like, no matter one thousand people that, you know, hear our thing, we're still spreading the gospel for the better. And like, I think our motto is, we don't need a stadium to reach stadium filling numbers.
Yeah.
But I like that analogy that you said, like strap in, get ready, kind of get ready for the ride. You know, it's not going to be easy, but, you know, we have to be ready. And, you know, knowing that God's always with us makes it a little easier and it comforts us.
Yeah. And I mean, we're going to continue to pray over this podcast and pray blessings over this podcast that sorry, Brady's tried to put a log on the fire three times and it's missed all. But we're going to continue to try and do the right things and pray blessings over this podcast, and hopefully we ask you guys to pray for us too. Like, we're no better than any one listener, any one person that we know. Like, if the more prayers we have over this thing that we're doing the right thing and we're guiding people in the right way and helping people, then the better we are. And we just want to be blessed by God, and we have been so extremely. I mean, I was looking at it the other day. We have listeners. Like, we don't have a lot of monthly listeners, I'm not going to lie. Like, we're new. We're 11 episodes in, 3.5 months strong. And we average about 65 monthly listeners. But it expands. Like, we get one or two or three more every month. And that might not make some people excited, dude, but I get so stoked when I see, like, oh, we have new listeners. And we have people listening, like, all over the world, which is blows my mind. Like, we've got numbers coming from Korea, from France, there's one in Zimbabwe.
Dang.
Dude. Zimbabwe.
That's cool.
Like, it's crazy. All over the country. Like, we've got people in Detroit, in California, in Colorado Springs. It's insane. And we love that even a small show like us, like, we're no Unashamed podcast, which is like the Duck Dynasty guys podcast. Like, we're not them yet, and we're not on that level. We're no George Janko or Cliff and Stuart Connectly, but we're still people all around the world are hearing our voices. But more importantly, people all around the world are hearing God's word that might not have heard it before or might not have the ability to hear it. They might not have a Bible. And one thing I want to say is if you don't have a Bible and you listen to this show, please message us on Instagram or TikTok or something.
We will send.
And I will we'll personally send and buy you a Bible and get it to you to make sure you can have it. I don't care if you're on the other side of the world and it costs me $100 in shipping to send. I will do it.
We'll make it happen.
So, I know my heart's broken right now. LSU just got cooked by Florida and game's over. But that notification just popped up on my phone, which is terrible, but whatever.
Back-to-back
losses. It's football, dude. Who cares? It's back-to-back-to-back losses. Yeah, I mean, I feel tremendously blessed to be able to even be heard by one person.
Yeah.
And share the gospel with them and just share the good news. And
you know, it's like, you know, I feel like we're planting a seed, you know, that one person that may hear this, you know, they may go out and tell another person who tells another person who tells another person.
Yeah. 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 It's like the domino effect. Mm-hmm. Like it's amazing. You guys got anything? So I've been like writing stuff down the last like week, just random things that have come to my heart. Mm-hmm. And one of the ones I'm trying to find it right here. So I just liked it because I love C.S. Lewis, which you guys know who C.S. Lewis is, right? The author. Mm-hmm. This person said a lot of people's opinion about Jesus is that he was a good teacher or just something like similar to that. Not the Son of God, but if you actually read the words that he spoke and wrote in the Gospels, you would 100% come up with a conclusion like C.S. Lewis, that he's either insane or this is the Son of God and there's no other option. Because, like, genuinely, if you read, like, the red letters in the Bible, there's no other option. Like, it's either this dude is a wackadoodle or he truly is the Son of God. And it's more than likely he's the Son of God because hundreds of thousands of people, eyewitness firsthand, and can attest to what he did and his works and his scriptures. And if everyone, like Matthew, Mark, all of them, like all of the disciples, that's a loud helicopter. Mm-hmm. If their stories about Jesus were exactly the same, then some people might say, you know what, that's a little weird, because how did 12 people have the exact same experience, nothing differ, but they all have a little bit of inconsistency in their story?
Yeah, and it's like eyewitness accounts.
Yeah, which is way more realistic. It's like, okay, not everyone has the same opinion. Not everyone sees things the exact same way. Not everyone words things the same way. So it just makes it, like, more real.
Yeah, it's kind of like a telephone game, you know, like where it's like someone starts with something and then it goes down the road and, like, it changes every time.
It ends up, like, being way different than what, you know, the first person
but
said.
But majority of the time, it ends up being the same thing, just really choppy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's kind of like, I see how all those messages are. It's like, it still has the same thing as, you know, Christ is King, but... Mm-hmm. It all could be from different platforms, you know, and different experiences. And that's like the beauty behind the whole Bible is that it's all, you know, it's different, but it all makes sense.
Yeah. And dude, like, I personally hate reading. Like, I've never been a reader. I've maybe read 10 books in the 28 years I've been on this earth. Like, I did all I could. Like, I cliff note things in high school for exams and tests and book reports and stuff like that. And when I read the Bible, I don't get that feeling. It's like, man, this is an interesting story. Like most people, a lot of people that are readers that I have friends, they're like, well, when you read, like, it doesn't like play out like a movie in your head. And I'm like, no, like I'm literally just reading words on the page. But when I'm reading the Bible, like, I can genuinely, like, see and envision the stories that I'm reading. Mm-hmm. And it makes it so much more real. Like, every passage I get into, and it makes it so much more believable, so much more meaningful. And it's really brought me to the conclusion of, like, from the small amount that I've read so far, that in the end, nothing is truly about us. Like, it's about showing Jesus to your sons, your daughters, your family, your coworkers, anyone like that, like strangers you come in contact with. In Ephesians, it has the full armor of God, which I recently have started wearing this bracelet that says the full armor of God, and it has Ephesians and Bible verses on it. And it's not just something to sound cool, but for us to wear it and use it all the time. If there's, like, genuinely a way that we can do everything we need and, like, live forever, and it's through Jesus, because he's eternity and we're going to spend eternity with Jesus. So, I mean, it's just the armor of God passage, like, gives me goosebumps. Like, I got goosebumps right now. 31 minutes. Brady asked how long we've been going.
Probably a minute. I don't know why.
Yeah, 31 minutes, just because the food got here and I am starving, but that's all right. That's a worldly issue.
Yeah, I think what I'm most excited about is I'm excited for the rest of the, what, 28 days? I'm excited for the other, 25, and for our devotion speaking. And I think I'm more excited about how my life can change in those 28 days. And, where I've been living this, this life I have been living for 19 years, how I can flip a switch in 28 days.
Yeah, I'm excited to also see, how God will work through each and every one of us, for the better. Like even me and Ridge, like, I'm sure that we're both, excited to see how this devotional will, help us in our daily life.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm most excited about. Just, seeing... It could be, something as small as just, maybe I'm nice to this person I wasn't nice to. It's, even the small things are the biggest reward. And I always take that, it could be the smallest things, but they're always the biggest victories.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, a lot of people struggle on is that, it's like, okay, well, this little small thing happened. I got to get better. I got to strive to get better. But it's, take a second and, praise yourself for where you're at.
Yeah.
It could be something, as small as, okay, now I'm going to start eating breakfast. Yeah. That's a big thing. And I feel like a lot of people just, they kind of overlook it, and they're just like, okay, well, odds are bigger, better. But, I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah, and if there's anyone that's listening to this or that sees us on Instagram or something that is, struggling, what's the first step? It's the first thing you should ask yourself is, do I know Christ?
Yeah.
And if your answer is no, you first need to have repentance in your heart, and then you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart and live there forever.
Yeah.
You have to repent for your sins, and repentance means to change your ways of living. Mm-hmm. You can't just mumble a few words and think that's it. You have to really mean it. You must go to Jesus Christ for repentance and go with childlike faith to the Lord, not by trusting yourself, your money, or the religion that your parents put in your life, but by trusting in God and in God alone. That's ultimately how you do it. That's the first step, is accepting Jesus into your heart, allowing him to live inside you and live through you and be the guidance you need across all of your worldly task and daily task. And if you can do that, then you can do anything.
Yeah.
Because you've got God on your side.
Yeah, and I agree with what you said earlier a second ago about, do it for yourself. And, it's even small things nowadays too. Oh, I'm going to change this person because, I'll be better for them. But more of change for yourself. Follow Christ for yourself, not because of your parents, not because of your friends, not because of what everyone else says. Follow God for who you are, And at the end of the day, it's, as a lot of people say, you go in the grave alone. And, you can do all these other things for the people, but at the end of the day, if you don't have yourself, second, and God first, where really are you at?
Yeah.
If you have yourself first, who's after you?
Yeah.
And, that's a lot of people lead to their demise because they have their self over anything else.
And then, you hope that, your friends see you change for the better and live a life of God. And, that you hope that they change. And also, Live a life for God.
Yeah. You guys want to hear something cool? So,
I'm sweating.
You're sweating, and it's 65 degrees out here. That's crazy.
This fire's cooking, dude.
It is. That's why I scooted back a little bit. So something crazy. In all of the history of the world, Jesus is the only expected person. No one was looking for Julius Caesar or Napoleon or Washington or Lincoln to appear at a certain time or place. No one else in their life, like, was their life foretold, or work laid out for them centuries before they arrived. But the coming of the Messiah was predicted for centuries. He's the only expected person, and there is no one like him. Like, literally, like, if you really think about it, like, no one knew Abraham Lincoln was going to abolish slavery in, I can't even think of the freaking speech, dude.
Abraham Lincoln speech?
Yeah. The one that set the...
Is that the fourscore and 7 years ago?
The one...
Gettysburg Address.
And, like, bro. Nobody expected that. Nobody was looking for Julius Caesar to reign. Like, nobody was looking for Martin Luther King. Like,
I Have a Dream speech.
Anything like that. Like, it happened in time. But everyone expected Jesus to come and to be born. And just like now, we all expect him to come back.
Yeah.
Like, he's the only expected person. Nobody expected Donald. Well, I mean, a lot of people expected Donald Trump to run again for president. But
like, no one, like, expects, like, Martin Luther King to come back. Yeah, but or Michael Jackson or something like that.
20 years ago, nobody expected Donald Trump to be president. Mm. Like, it's
well, just, besides The Simpsons.
Yeah, maybe. But it's just, like, one of those, like, mind-blowing things. Yeah. We talked about the Peter fishing story a few weeks ago, right?
That was last week.
Yeah.
Was it the last episode? Okay, mm-hmm. So I've got a few things that I wrote down. I actually reread that story this week and a few things that I took away from it. So the story of Jesus telling Peter to fish in deeper water. Why did he wait for him to come and clean his boat and nets and to be done fishing for the day? Because he wants you to see him. He wants you to know that your way isn't working. That's why you're doing it, and you're doing it the wrong way. He just saw him working, healing his mother-in-law who was sick, cast out demons too. But all he did was believe. He's just a believer. Jesus wants Peter to know you cannot do this on your own. You're too shallow. Go deeper. Get a deeper relationship with Christ. Like,
yeah, amen.
I thought it was just like a little bit of like a metaphor, but that's when I reread it and I kind of did some studying on it. That's what I pulled from that story, is like, he wasn't just trying to give him like faith and be like, you know what, if you believe in me, I can go. Yeah. But it was like, oh, go fish in the deeper water, cast your nets to the deeper side, because I want you to go deeper in your faith and in your relationship with me. I want you to get to know me more.
That's so good.
Yeah.
How was dinner?
Really good.
Yeah? That is Kaylee Langmo.
What was dinner?
Bro, there's a plethora of Chinese food in there. Kennedy, how's your sore toe or foot or leg? All right. Well, what else you guys got, big dog?
No, I haven't heard much from you tonight. What's going on?
Yeah, dog. Where's it at? What'd you do today, Noah?
I drove my dad's old car. He has a 1972 Pantera de Tomasa.
Never even heard of that.
Played golf today.
How'd you play?
You're such an old man at heart.
I played actually really well. I was surprised. But it was good.
Oh, yeah.
Did you witness anyone?
Like on the course?
Anyone.
Kenny's parents.
You witnessed to him?
Oh, I thought you meant like, did I witness anybody? No, I didn't.
No?
No.
That's okay. I didn't either. I was just asking.
I mean, that's one thing that we should challenge ourselves to do.
Witness what?
Witness to like spread the gospel to like people.
Oh,
like,
like
go up to some person, Jesus, and be like, hey, like, do you know Jesus?
No.
I took it the same way Noah took it.
Oh. No. So the only reason I asked that is like, we've got to care about people. And honestly, like, that gets harder and harder the older I get. Like, I have trouble caring about anybody but like my friends and family, but we got to care about everyone. Mm-hmm. But who did Jesus still care about when he was up on the cross? Who did he tell God, forgive them, for they know not what they do? The very ones who crucified him. So even if there's like people in your life that are hurting your feelings or not being nice or just pissing you off that day, like, you've got to care about them, and your goal should kind of be to witness to them and just give them a little encouragement. Like, it's almost like the kill them with kindness type deal.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's the best thing about it is you don't want to be like vengeful against someone. Yeah. Like, you know, offer forgiveness, and a lot of times that changes someone's mind completely.
Forgiveness is also a huge part on your side. Like, yeah.
Mental maturity and spiritual maturity.
And just like freedom, like, of that anger that you've had from someone. Is if you forgive them, then it won't even bother you anymore.
It's so much better. Like, a lot of people like to try to get like vengeful. Like,
yeah,
like, oh, you did that to me, I'm gonna do it to you.
It's but not about like, revenge.
By the end of the day, like, you could do it. You still feel like you know, you're still digging. It's like, okay, well, that's not good enough, and I got to keep going.
Don't repay evil for evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that also ties in a little bit about that story I was telling you guys when we had our discussion the other night. The one, like, you, the caring about people, like the one that you, that I told you about, the shepherd that broke the sheep's legs.
Yep. Yeah.
So it was like the story of the shepherd who broke the sheep's legs after running away, three times. And he broke that sheep's legs because, and this is kind of how I think about it to like my friends. I'm going through this right now with a few of my friends that I know they've got God in their heart, or they've got a thought of him and all that. But it's like, sometimes you gotta hurt someone's feelings. Like, and the story goes, like, the shepherd broke the sheep's legs because the sheep kept running off. And when that shepherd broke the sheep's legs, the sheep thought that was a horrible, terrible thing that he could have done and didn't understand why. But that sheep could see what was on the other side of the hill. And I feel like if my friends are the sheep and I'm the shepherd, I can see what's on the other side of the life that they're living. And you break that sheep's leg so it stays next to you and sticks with you.
Right.
And then when that sheep heals, it never runs off again because you broke its legs, and it realizes that things are better with you. And in the end, like, God sometimes needs to break you to show you that you need to stick with him and stick by him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of part of also, like, you know, the sacrifices part. You know, we may lose our friend, like, some of our friends in the beginning, but, you know, our end goal is to bring him with Christ for, like, with us.
I was just telling Jackson to take some pictures. But Brady, what did you do today?
Got out of work. And then I came here. We hung up some.
We put some plastic over those screens.
Yep. And then now we're here eating dinner, doing a podcast. And then after this, we're going to watch the UFC fight.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody asked me what I was doing today.
What are you doing, Rich?
Thanks for asking.
I don't really want to know.
Thanks for asking, Noah.
You're so welcome.
So not only today, but these past 3 days, Deanna and I went out to Hammock Beach Golf Resort.
Yeah, near St. Augustine.
In Palm Coast.
Near St. Augustine.
About 30 miles south of St. Augustine. I wouldn't really say near. Near is usually about 10 miles, maybe. That's a little stretch. It's
near St. Augustine.
But it was very relaxing. We played golf on Thursday, the day we got there. And I must say so, nicest golf course I've ever been on in my life.
Thanks for the invite.
It was a weekend with my wife, not a weekend with my friends. So you were not invited. And
don't gotta be sassy about it.
We did that. We went and got some sushi that night.
That sushi looks so good.
It was all right. I'm not a big fan when they chop the spicy tuna roll like really small.
Like, really fine.
Yeah, like I almost like puked like three times eating it because I chewed it so much that it like turned into mush, and I'm a big texture person. But we went back to the hotel, chilled. all day Friday, we really, I think we laid in bed for like 8 hours. So,
bruh, you're at the beach and you're literally laying in bed.
Yeah, it was a high right of there. 68 degrees.
That's when it's nice to go outside the beach.
I love the beach in that weather. My wife does not. It was cloudy and it was like 25 mile an hour wind. So it would have been miserable. We had some real good pizza, watched some good movies. Yeah, we had some really good pizza. It took 2 hours to get to our room and it was on the hotel property.
That doesn't sound too good to me.
But the pizza in the end was super delicious.
Was it hot?
Well, yeah, I guess they forgot to make it. So once they made it, it took 15 minutes to get to our room.
Oh, okay.
And then we stayed up late watching the fight last night, the scripted fight. And
bro, Jake Paul called out. Do you know who Gervonta Tank Davis is, Brady?
No.
Okay. I mean, I do know. Call him out. He called McGregor.
McGregor.
Yeah, he did.
And McGregor.
I do know for one thing, Noah swore up and down that Mike Tyson was going to win that fight. And
it's a scripted fight.
I said that Jake Paul was.
Mike Tyson only lost because of time.
Okay, so if it was scripted, then you believe that Mike Tyson was scripted to win, but he wasn't. So,
no, Jake was scripted to win, so they'll keep having broadcasting for him.
Yeah.
And he'll keep bringing money. He's going to pay whoever he's fighting a bunch of money for them to lose.
True.
Logan did the same thing with Meriwether, sorry, but he got knocked out and Meriwether held him up.
Yeah, so we stayed up late last night, watched that. I actually slept till 10 a.m. today. I don't think I've ever slept that late in my entire life.
This is the guy who wakes up at 4:30 nonstop every day.
I also took like two sleeping pills last night. They were like some sleep aid from Amazon. And that might have something to do with it. But woke up this morning, packed up, drove back, and did the same exact thing that Brady did because he came over and we worked together. But yeah, overall, it was a good weekend. We got church in the morning. Mm-hmm. Get a little PK, a little Jesus in our life.
Ooh, little PK. Yeah, then I got work till 10.
Yeah, at least you're going to church.
I am.
I know. That's why I said at least you're going to church.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, man. What else do you guys have to talk about?
Forrest Frank came out with a new song.
Yeah, I didn't listen
Another
to it.
Another one called The Present. Yeah. It's really good. It's really good.
He also came out with a Christmas song.
Yeah, that was The Present.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It talks about like he said like I don't need like a very nice gift like under the tree, like all I need is Jesus and stuff. Like it was really good.
Maverick came out with one too.
Maverick City, yeah, mm-hmm. I saw that. They came out, was it two new songs or one?
I'm pretty sure it was two, one including a featured artist, one not.
Yeah.
You gotta listen
including
to
Chandler and
Chandler Moore.
I think so.
You gotta listen to Brandon Lake's song, Hard Fought Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a real good one. You guys want to hear something that I wrote down the other day?
Yeah.
So, that plane is so loud, dog. It's, this is kind of random to what we're talking about right now. But, so when I get to the entrance of heaven and they ask what's the password, I'm not going to say big numbers on the podcast or I read the Bible every day. I will, but the only thing I will say is nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm going to heaven totally on the basis that of what Christ did on the cross. Salvation is not by works. It's purely by the grace of God. You must receive by faith and believe, then must be willing to follow him and serve him. It means that you start living a disciplined life under the Lord and serve him.
That's
so
good. I like that.
Yeah, I've been heavy on these notes I've been writing lately, and it's kind of come in handy. I mean, it's kind of like I write like 8 or 9 different things down every week, and I think it'll come in handy with the podcast. I encourage you guys to do the same thing. But yeah, I am freaking starving, dude. I'm so hungry.
Repost.
You want to
do us the verse again?
Do the verse of the week.
Oh yeah.
Nowhere.
Yes, sir.
Anybody else out here want to say anything? Bowden, you want to say anything?
He's very upset.
Why are you upset? Why are you crying? Brecken, you want to say anything? Give the people what they want.
Jackson, you want to say anything? Kennedy?
Jack, you want to come do a commercial impromptu?
Break? Commercial?
Oh, yeah, right here, baby.
No, we have no Wi-Fi.
What?
No Wi-Fi? What do you mean? You need Wi-Fi for your voice to work?
What?
Kennedy, you want to say anything? Deanna? Kaylee? You guys are phonies.
Come on. You gotta say it into the mic.
I can't hear you. Here.
What do you got to say? You got to tell people Jesus loves them?
Hello, everyone.
Tell everyone that Jesus loves them.
Jesus loves all of you.
Pop, pop.
Keep on reading the Bible.
Ooh, there we go. Amen. That was from 8-year-old Brecken, my own flesh and blood, my child, Brady's best friend.
All right, I think we got it. Thank you.
Bowden, you want to say something, dude? You sure?
Positive.
You want to tell everyone who your best friend is?
It's not Jackson.
Who's your best friend? Can you point to him?
Yeah, it's the Xbox in the room.
All right. Well, Noah, take that verse of the week out.
Verse of the week, Deuteronomy 31:8. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Deuteronomy 31:8.
Amen, dog.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this is the end. Go Tigers, even though we lost to Florida.
Roll Tide.
My dogs are on right now.
Roll Tide.
My dogs, not my dog.
It's going to be a good game.
Yeah, this is the end, dude. So I guess we're going to go grub. So see y'all later.
Deuces.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, what? That's not your bye.
See you guys.
Okay, I guess that works.
Bye.
Adios, everyone.